BP Church and lecturer FEBC to come to bring God's word to us, entitled Hold the Fort, Philip Bliss, Reverend Das Kushi.
A blessed Lord's Day evening to all of you, and greetings in the name of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. This evening, our topic for devotion is Hold the Fort, and it is based on the hymn written by Philip Bliss. You can find that hymn in the Revival Hymns and Choruses. You may also like to take a look at it right now. So please open your hymnal to hymn number 444. We will not sing it now, but we will look at the words after this message. We will have a time to sing this. 444. Oh, my comrades, see the signal waving in the sky. Reinforcements now appearing. Victory is nigh. Hold the fort, for I am coming. Jesus signals still. Wave the answer back to heaven. By thy grace, we will. That's it for now. Now let's turn our Bibles to Revelation chapter 3, verse 11. Revelation chapter 3, verse 11. Join me in the reading, please. Let's read together. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, and that no man take thy crown. Lord, grant us this time the fullness of thy Spirit. Enlighten our minds with the knowledge of thy word that has been the song of your people, even particularly through this song or hymn that's before us. Hold the fort, for I am coming. We pray that you will speak to us and we will hear all that you want to tell us. O great commander of our souls, the author and finisher of our faith, command us with thy majestic voice. May our hearts be prepared by thy blessed Spirit to hear thy charge tonight. May thy voice cause the souls that are dead in sin to be quickened. May thy voice revive those who are in spiritual slumber. May thy voice prepare us for the trumpet of God that shall sound soon. Bless us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus said to the church in Philadelphia, Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. That verse began with a call to specific attention to the things he is just about to say. Behold, he said. How wonderful is our God who knows that we do often lose our focus. I understand how difficult it is for us to remain focused in our spiritual journey. We are distracted by so many things in this world. The cares of this life. The temptations of the world. The uncertainties of the future. There are many things that trouble us. And sometimes take our mind completely away from our focus upon God. Sometimes we worry about things that do not really matter when there are grave and important things in our life waiting for our attention. We often get stranded in the things of this temporal world when eternal things need much more attention from us. When time is slipping away from us and our life on earth is about to come to an end, we get entangled with the things of this world, which will do no good to our souls. And our Lord knows it all. And He then commands to capture our attention. Behold, look this way. I have certain things for you to see and consider. Enough of being stranded in your own thoughts. Behold. And I want to thank God for that word. It calls you and me to have the right perspective. Now, what's the right perspective? It is the perspective that God wants us to see. Not so much what we want to see or others want us to see. It is what the Lord wants to see. So if the Lord tells you this evening, behold, please look in the direction that He wants you to look. I know you are cumbered with many things. I know there are many things that have taken your heart. But it is time, in divine appointment, for you to turn to Him. And He says, as though no time to waste, I come quickly. That's the thing the Lord wants you to consider tonight. He says, I come quickly. The Lord is coming quick. Have you considered this, my dear friend? You know the doctrine of the Lord's second coming. You believe in the rapture. You know about the tribulation period. You know about His return. You know about the Armageddon war. You know about the millennial reign of Christ. You know about the heaven to come and the hell that is awaiting all the wicked who would not repent but die in their sin. You know all these doctrines. But have you considered that the Lord is coming quickly? Are you ready for the imminence of His return? Do not argue in your heart, oh, this has been preached for 2,000 years. It may not so quickly happen. It's not for us to determine or worry about the exact timing of the Lord's return. The Lord wants us to be ever ready for His coming. And it can happen any time. I come quickly. There will be no time for you to say to the Lord, wait, I'm not ready. No, when it happens just like that. Quickly, He says. I come quickly. No man can hinder that. No plea will be taken into consideration. No government, no power, no authority, either in this world or above this earth, can stop His return. It's a serious matter. It has to be our thought now until he returns, that he would come quickly. He will come quickly. All right, Lord, we heard that voice. You said plain and clear that you are coming. And you said you are coming quickly. I have no argument with you, but you are not here. You said you are coming quickly, but where are you? Yes, we are focusing on what you just said. Where are you, Lord? Are you at the door? No. I don't hear any voice of the trumpet of God. Well, if you say that, and if you keep on saying that, and because of the repeated statement or argument in your mind, if you allow your mind to be again get entangled in the things of this life, well, he may just come. This is what Jesus actually tried to illustrate to us through the story of 10 virgins. 5 of them were wise because they were ever ready for the Lord, the bridegroom's return, whereas the foolish virgins were not ready. Their problem was not that they didn't believe in the fact that the bridegroom would come any time. They also had lambs in case he come in the night. But they were not all that prepared to wait patiently and expectantly. You see, dear friends, when the Lord said, I come quickly, this is not to fool us into thinking that, you know, he will come quickly and then if he doesn't come, you can do what you want and don't trust him again. No. He says this that we may be always found in absolute preparedness, total preparedness, in readiness that will not catch us unaware. Let this voice always ring. The sovereign Lord, the King of Kings, has His time. The Father has set His time. And the Son of God would come. And there will be no delay. The appointed time of God will fulfill that which He has said here. But what should be our response? Now we should be saying, Lord, well, you have caught my attention tonight. I agree, I have heard this before, but I allow myself to be distracted by the things in my life. Yes, Lord, I'm a fool, but thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your readiness to awaken me. Thank you for calling me once again to thyself, to that great event that is sure to happen. I'm thankful. So what shall I do now, Lord? Let that be your prayer. If that is your sincere prayer, then the Lord has this to say. Look again into verse 11. Hold that fast which thou hast. Hold fast that which you have. What is that? What is the thing that they have? What is the thing they already possess? Well, let's look at the preceding verses. I'm going to begin from verse 7. Would you please follow along? And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David. He that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. Now he says to the church, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. Now the Lord has not only saved them and given them grace and opportunity to serve Him. And then He goes on to say, no man can shut it. Why? Because the Lord has opened it. Whatever He opens, no man can shut. That's what verse 7 said. And whatever He shutteth, no man can open. So this door of service is open to the church because the Lord kept it open. Why is it very important? Because immediately He says in verse 8, For thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. The church is rather struggling to do the work of the Lord because they are feeling weak. They are feeling weary. They do not know whether they can hold on. As one of our hymns says, when I fear, my faith will fail. Sometimes, even great men of faith, in enduring battle, find themselves struggling to keep on believing. We find our strength rather small. But the Lord is not yet to give up His children. The Lord is not yet ready to, or the Lord is not going to give up on His church. He says, for thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast denied not my name. And hast not denied my name. Well, my dear friends, we have strength. But when we look at the struggles that are before us, we may think the strength that we have is too little. But praise God that God who kept the door opened knows our weaknesses and kept the door open for us that we may continue with our struggles regardless of all our real feelings and weaknesses within us. The Lord encourages us and say, thou hast little strength and hast kept my word. You have been faithful. You have kept my word. You know, the word keep is a very interesting word. In fact, a while ago when I preached in my church, I had to explain this word. Normally, when you use this word keep together with the word commandment or statute or the word of God, it means obey. You kept my word means you obeyed my word. But you see, it is a little more than just obeying. People obey for many reasons. Some obey because they are under some enforced authority, you know, some capricious, cruel ruler trying to subjugate his subjects, and then he sends out an edict telling everybody, obey, and in fear you obey. But that's not the situation when it comes to the church of God serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though they feel that they are rather unequal to the task, their strength is rather weak and small, they are still willing to obey, not because they are terrorized, but because they know who has given them those commandments. The Lord Jesus said to the church, and has kept my word. Jesus said in John 14, if you love me, keep my commandments. In fact, He also very clearly said, His commandments are actually expressions of His love. You know, dear friends, the word keep is a good word that reflects not only our willingness to obey, but the motivation behind our readiness to obey. You see, it goes something like this. If Somebody has given you a token of love, his or her love for you, and say, please keep it until I come. It will remind you of my love for you. Well, if you place it in a prominent place where you can always see it, and you look at it often, and you keep it in a sense in your heart and in a visible form, well, you are reminded of his love, and also, when you keep it, it also reflects your love for that person. The Lord has given you his word. It's a token of his love, his wisdom. In fact, not just token, it is his love, it is his wisdom, it is his power and strength and counsel to you. And you keep it in your heart, not as an edict of a cruel king, but the words of love of your loving master. You love God's word because you know who gave it, God of love. You keep his commandments because he never commanded anything to his people to destroy them, but to protect them from the evil of sin and the consequences of sin. And so here, the Lord Jesus Christ tells the church, even though you have little strength, you kept doing my word. You kept it in your heart with affection, with obedience. It's a loving obedience to God. And that's what I think the word keep emphasizes. We keep it in our heart. We hold it out before us. We love to read it. We love to study it. We love to apply it. We love to declare it. We love to defend it. We keep it. Though we think we are not capable of carrying out this duty. I want to tell the Lord, Lord, who am I? Who am I to take thy glorious word, handled by prophets, apostles, great men like reformers? What strength do I have to carry this and preach? Who am I to think that I can obey all of this? Oh Lord, there is no strength in me. And that the love that the Lord has shown toward me, keep me always focused on his word. And I thank God because the Lord's love has enabled me to keep his word. I live today not by denying him. I do not deny his name. You know, this is a blessing that all of us have. And the Lord wants us to know that this blessing that the Lord has given to us is not going to be there without attack day after day. The church in Philadelphia had much, much trouble. If you look into verse 9, it says, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. See, the enemies who persecuted the church in Philadelphia will know, according to the Lord Jesus Christ, that these people, these men of the church in Philadelphia, are true worshippers of God. And they will see it. They will know it. And Jesus says very clearly at the end of verse 9, that even the enemies will know that I have loved thee. You see, our keeping of God's word is a reflection of his love for us and our love for him. And every one of you, by the grace of God, please listen to this. regardless of all the temptations and trials that you have faced through the minions of Satan in this world, remain in love with God because He has loved you. And even though sometimes you drift away, you cry and say, Lord, my strength is too little, have mercy. Sanctify me, bring me back. And the Lord says to you today in verse 11, hold that fast which thou hast. My love for you, which is expressed in the word of God that is given to you, and the way you have been, or you are expected to respond to my word of love, keep at it. Hold fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. The host of enemy, the devil, the demons, the world, the wicked men and women around us, even the lust of our own flesh, is constantly trying to reduce us to nothing. We already have a battle. We are fighting so hard. And the devil and his servants are also working very hard to destroy us. So in this great battle, the commander says to us, behold, don't give up. I know the fight is on. I know the battle is severe. I know some of you are wounded. I know some of you feel like you're about to die. But hold fast. Keep the word. Remember that I love thee. I'm coming. I come quickly. Maybe in this great battle that we face today, whether it is the battle concerning the Word of God for its preservation, kept pure in all ages. Not many men believe that today. Even though they believe, they think God preserved His Word with some mistakes. But we believe with all our heart, He kept it pure in all ages. We love God's Word. It's a terrible battle because not many take that great doctrine to their heart. And they look down on us. They attack us. We feel lonely, don't we? We are going to feel a lot more lonely soon. And then we have the fight against sin. We will have fight in our families. We will have fight within and without the church. And it's all going to make you very wary. And dear friends, it is so important for you and I to remember, even if we have to fall dead in this battle, our Lord is coming back to give us the crown. To give us the crown. Don't let anybody snatch it from us. Let's rise up in faith and say, thank you, Lord, for opening the door open for me. Thank you that you opened my door. Thank you that you have called me into your service. Thank you that you have given me this grace to be a soldier for Christ. In my place, in my home, in my workplace, in my educational institution, in my church, wherever I am, you have made me a soldier to bear your name, to carry your word. I thank thee, Lord, for that. Oh, Lord, but I'm afraid. I'm fearful. I feel wounded. I feel I'm dying. Can I see the end of the battle? Will I hold? the Word of God says to us, hold fast, keep on believing. Keep on believing that I'm coming quickly. You work because I'm coming to reward you. You endure your trials because I'm coming to wipe all tears. You take the pain on in your body and in your heart and keep marching into the battle because soon I will heal you and there will be no sickness and no death. I will take you to myself. Let no one distract you. Let no one destroy you. Let none take the crown away from you. Now, here I think we have the best time in the light of what we just meditated upon to consider the song before us. This song was written after Philip Bliss heard an incident that happened during American Civil War. Now, I do not want to go into all the details, names and battlefield and so on, because many of those things could be rather strange to us. We are not familiar with those things. But it goes like this. One of the leading generals called W.T. Sherman took his army to the battle during the Civil War of America, and he had two other generals to lead the army. One, a general called Corse, C-O-R-S-E, and he was the front man in the battle. But there was, on the opposite side, a general named French, General French. General French army surrounded General Corse and his army and cut off all the food chain. And they were without food, and the battle was raging hot, and people were being killed, and the army was getting smaller and smaller, and General French was having more and more ground in the battle. But the message from Sherman was, keep fighting. Don't give up. General Corse himself was wounded. He had 3 bullets stuck in his head. And that he was commanded to fight. And there was another general who stood side by side with him, named Tourtellotte. And Tourtellotte said, now I shall lead the army, you stay with me. Let's lead together. Tourtellotte also was wounded. But all of a sudden, one of his soldiers from the top of the hill looked across the plain, and he saw General French army waving the white flag. That's a sign of surrender. Immediately he climbed a pine tree and waved the victory flag. General Sherman got the news, and from mountain to mountain it was announced, hold the fort, I'm coming. W.T. Sherman. Dear friends, victory is at side. When the events that are happening around us, you may think you are losing the battle, but actually what do they tell us? Our Lord is coming soon, isn't it? You hear of more earthquakes. You hear of more battles.
You hear of incurable diseases. You hear of departure from faith. You hear of lack of love in homes, in churches, and everywhere. Now tell me, what does it signal you?
The Lord is coming soon. Now, when the battle is fought near home, we get scared. It's not time for us to be scared. It's not time for us to feel afraid. It is the time to see what we ought to see. The devil is desperate. He knows his time is about to end. He does everything possible. But again, in the light of the Scripture, we know these are the signs of the last days. Our Lord is coming. What shall we say? Let's wave the answer back to heaven. By thy grace, we will. We are of little strength, O Lord. We don't know whether we can hold on until you come. It's getting very hot here. It's getting very, very difficult. It's frightening. I'm wounded. I'm struggling. But Lord, by thy grace, we will. Let's look at stanza 2. See the mighty host advancing, Satan leading on, mighty men around us falling, courage almost gone. Stanza 3. See the glorious banner waving, hear the trumpet blow, in our leader's name we triumph over every foe. Fight on! Take on every enemy! It's not a time for us to put down the panoply of God, the spiritual armor that God has given. It's time to put them all on. Helmet of salvation, shield of faith, breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with gospel of peace. Let's get ready. Make sure we stand in the strength of the Lord. Verse 4, stanza 4. Fears long, the battle rages, but our help is near. Onward comes our great commander. Cheer, my comrades, cheer. What a great song. I leave to the chairman to lead us in the song. Now let's go to a time of prayer. Our Father, our glorious King, we are not worthy to be your soldiers, and that you called us. We are not worthy to take your name, and that we give you thanks that you allow us by thy grace. By thy grace, thank you for the strength that you have given to us up to this point of time. You know our weakness. Lord, and that you count us as one of your servants. And thank you that we can be found in this great tradition of men whom thou hast saved, in the tradition of men who love thee and love thy word. We want to cling on to thy word. We want to die, if we die, for thy word, which is thy covenant, which is thy promise, which is the victory statement from your own mouth. We will die for the word if you give us the grace. Please do not take this privilege from us, we pray. We ask this because we cannot hold on to by our own strength. Bless this church, the pastors, the elders, the deacons, and all the members who love thee with true heart of devotion. We pray for everyone who is in this fight. for the word of God and for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, grant us the grace, we pray, and by thy grace we will. In the name of our great Savior and Commander, we pray. Amen.